remain standing, if you will. Turn in your Bible to Proverbs chapter number 23. Proverbs chapter 23. Brother Johnson, would you turn them fans on? That I'm already wet with sweat. Amen. And I ain't quitting till y'all are. Amen. No, I'm kidding. Proverbs 23, and we'll be looking back at that text again. I love this study of Proverbs. It's been a blessing to me. Miss Kristen talked about the Bible being such a blessing when you study it. You never get to the bottom of it, never get to the depths of it, and all that goes there. And even in these Proverbs, matter of fact, I think every proverb we're going to look at, I'm going to try to cover 10 Proverbs tonight, 10 verses, and that's a little bit tricky, could be, but I'm going to try to do that. And I think every single one we're going to look at is really a repeat of something we've already looked at in the book of Proverbs. But God didn't mind repeating himself. Amen. God didn't mind repeating himself because he knew that most of us don't get it the first time. Right. If I was asked for a show of hands, how many of you got saved the first time the Lord dealt with you? First time you heard the call, more than likely, probably not a hand would be raised. Probably not, but maybe there'd be a few, but not the majority. The majority of us heard it again and again. Not just heard the preaching, but heard the Spirit calling. And I'm glad he still has mercy. Amen. And he's willing to repeat himself. Proverbs chapter number 23, we'll start with verse number 19 and read down through verse number 28. Proverbs 19 or 23, verse 19. Through verse number 28, we'll read it responsibly as we have been. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. She also lieth in wait as a prey, and increaseth the transgressors among men. I'm stopping there in verse number 28. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Ask God's blessings on the reading of his word. Brother Hall, do you feel like leading us in prayer, brother? All right, if you would, that'd be a blessing. Yes. Bless him, Lord. Oh, help. Yes. Amen, amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Thank you, Brother Hall, for that prayer. It's a blessing to have him back praying for us. Amen. Amen. And I suspect he's praying for us when he's gone. Amen. I appreciate that. Looking at these verses, as I said, every single one of these, I believe, we have looked at in one way or another, you know, maybe a little bit of a change in words. But we're in that section now where that some of them are coupled together. They're not just all standalone verses like they have been in several chapters in a row. But now we're in those few chapters now again where that they are connected quite a bit. And I'm going to be looking at those in that manner. Matter of fact, many of these I could have connected them even where I didn't. But I think that you can see that. In verse number 19, he says, "Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way." Solomon has oft repeated the desire that his son would listen, that he would give ear as well as give heart to what he is saying. Matter of fact, it goes along with what our Lord said. Our Lord said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. I think I found 9 texts of scripture where our Lord said those exact words in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. I think there's either 8 or 9 texts where Jesus said those exact words. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So I say this, there is a great importance placed upon listening. Amen. Hearing. Notice in our verse that hearing comes before being wise. You don't have to be smart to listen, but you got to listen to be smart. Right? You got to listen to become wise. One man said it this way. He said, learn to listen and listen to learn. I think that's a good way to look at it. And so he's all through the scriptures, he's talked about how that a fool will not listen, but a wise man will listen and will give heed. So he says here that listening or hearing precedes becoming wise. If you refuse to listen to advice, you'll never be wise. Now this is written to a young man, Solomon speaking primarily to his son, and so we can see that in young people that a lot of times they don't feel like they need to listen. I mean, old folks don't know anything. The only people that know anything is teenagers. They know it all. I mean, that's how they seem to feel. And they're not going to listen to the old folks. And when a person won't listen, they can't learn. When you're trying to train somebody about something, if they're not listening, they can't learn. And so he's saying that there is this idea of listening so that you can be wise. If you never listen, you are not wise, and you cannot become wise until you learn to listen. But he also talks about your heart and a guide. He says, hear thou my son and be wise and guide thine heart in the way. So I say this, your heart needs a guide. People say just follow your heart. Well, that's got the cart before the horse. Amen. You don't just follow your heart. You guide your heart. There ought to be something, some precepts, some instructions, some commandments that ought to guide our heart. Amen. And it's to guide us in the right way. Now you can follow your heart and go in any old way. But he's talking about in the right way. Amen. Guide thine heart in the way. It's dealing with in the right way. So your heart needs a guide. And those guides come from listening to your instructors. Whether it be a Sunday school teacher, whether it be a parent, whether it be the preacher, somebody that is trying to instruct you and trying to help you and trying to encourage you in the Lord. Amen. Now we know from the New Testament that faith comes by hearing. We can find out in the Old Testament that wisdom also comes from hearing. Amen. Proverbs 1:5, we looked at it already. He says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. It's often repeated. Matter of fact, it's been repeated in the same chapter we're in. Look at verse number 12 of Proverbs 23. And verse number 12, apply thine heart unto instruction, and thine ears to the words of knowledge. We dealt with this just a couple of weeks ago. Apply thine heart unto instruction, and thine ears to the words of wisdom. You see, Solomon was a wise father, and he was trying to teach his son. He was trying to instruct his son in wisdom about the right way to go. Amen. It used to be that sons pretty well followed their father's trajectory as far as employment. If father was a carpenter, a lot of times a son would be a carpenter. Joseph was a carpenter, and Jesus, growing up in that home, they called him the carpenter. Just took for granted he'd follow in those footsteps. And by the way, it used to be that way. Now today, we send our kids off to school and parents are not giving them much education. And the government is giving them the education. And they're telling them, don't listen to your parents. Your parents don't know anything. Matter of fact, the television's been telling them that for decades. For decades. Disney and the whole crowd, and the worst of them is Disney, by the way. The worst of them. Amen. That whole crowd has been trying to tell them that your parents don't know anything and don't listen to your parents. But there was a time when children would learn from their parents and they learned the right way. Amen. Amen. So he's talking about in verse 12 that we look back to. Again, he mentions the heart and he mentions the ears. And so it's got to get beyond just hearing. You've got to have your heart engaged as well. And so God's showing us in the scriptures about Solomon trying to teach his son, and he's trying to show him the word. By the way, God in this day, the Father, he's our Father. He's trying to teach his sons, his children, instruction. He's trying to give us wisdom. You know how he does that? Through the word of God. That's why you ought to have a daily diet of the word of God. Don't just let the preacher do all your reading for you. Amen. Don't just let Alexander Scorby do it on the radio. Let you get in your Bible, amen, and have a daily dose of Bible reading. But when we come to church, we ought to expect to hear preaching from the Word of God, amen. And we ought to be perked up and ready to listen. Amen. And so he's telling us this is how we get instruction. We listen to God's Word. We listen to the preaching of God's Word. We listen to the teaching of God's Word that will instruct us in wisdom in the right way to go in this world that we're living in. You think about how negligent it is to not even bother reading God's Word. We've been blessed with this book, by the way. Men died that we could have it. Yeah. People gave up their life. People lost their homes. People lost their children. Children were stripped from them. Several different things that had happened that we could have the Word of God like that we have it today. And then for us just to lay it up on the shelf and let it gather dust. I think we're going to have a lot to give an account for on Judgment Day. Amen. So he's talking about give your heart to wisdom. Now that phrase, look at that phrase, verse number 19 again. He says, guide thine heart. Guide thine heart in the way. If your heart is in the right way, then your feet will be in the right way. But it is possible to have your feet in the right way and your heart get out of gear. And when your heart gets out of the right path, it won't be long that your feet will be off of the right path. Amen. Keep your eyes on Jesus. That's a good statement. We know about Peter walking on the water. His feet were still on the waves, but he got his eyes off Jesus and he started sinking. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord, keep our heart directed that way. So I'm saying we need to guard our heart as well as we need our heart to be guided by the Word of God. And one of the ways we guard our heart is by applying our heart, directing our heart to the Word of God. Amen. Listen, if you just let your heart do whatever it wants to, it's just like a child. If you just let a child eat what they want to, they'll just eat sweets. They won't eat good food. Right? But you tell them you've got to eat the good food in order to get the junk. Right? And the reason you tell them that is because you don't want them eating all the junk before you get a chance to eat some of it. But you don't want them just to have a diet of junk. Because if that's all they have, then they won't grow properly. And so we've got to direct our own heart. We've got to say to our heart, you can't just think about just any old thing. I'm going to direct you in which way to think. I'm going to direct you in which way to meditate. That's what Miss Chris is talking about in teaching. All you folks that's taught a Sunday school class, you know you have to direct your thoughts in a certain way. And you're asking God to direct you, but you get focused on that and it is such a blessing. Amen. Now look at verse number 20 and 21. They go together. And I really believe they could go with verse 19. He told you which way you ought to go. Here he's telling you which way not to go. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. This is a warning against drunkenness and gluttony. It's also a warning against sensual indulgences. Give it into the flesh, what the flesh desires. Give it into the sensual, what the senses want. By the way, that is much needed direction today. So many people are just given over to sensual indulgences. Amen. But I want you to notice what it does not say. Look at verse number 20. It does not say, don't be a wine bibber. It says, don't be among them. It don't just say, don't be a glutton or a riotous eater of flesh. He says, don't be among them. Both cases, he uses the word among, and I underlined it. You know what he's saying? These are evil communications that will corrupt good manners. If you're hanging with the wrong crowd, you're going to start acting wrong. Amen. If you make friends with these kind of people, drunkards and partiers, that's the idea, that riotous eaters of flesh is just partying and living in that sensual lifestyle and just want whatever they want, always wanting more, always something bigger, always something better. When you run with that crowd, you are influenced by that crowd. You become a part of that crowd. You are corrupted by them. You are ensnared by them. There have been a lot of folks went to a party determined not to get drunk. But they did. Because they was hanging out with drunks. Yeah. They determined not to get rowdy. But they did. Because they was running with that crowd. Maybe it's the peer pressure. Maybe it's the evil communications that broke down their barriers, got them into trouble. I'm just saying, just being among this kind of activity. Amen. I've said this before probably, but I remember when I went to college, my first day at college, in my dorm room, I don't remember what floor my dorm was on, dorm room, I think it was on the third floor, whatever it was, I had to go up the elevator. I remember getting in the elevator, on the back of the elevator was a homemade sign somebody put up that they was having a block party and told where they was having it, and it was BYOB. I didn't know what that meant. Now I think it means bring your own Bible. But it meant bring your own beer. And it's just party atmosphere. Well, listen, I could go down there with my Bible, not bring no beer, just go down there with my Bible. But hanging around in that crowd, I'd be in the wrong crowd. He said, don't be among them. Don't be among them. When they start passing the beer around the table, it's time to leave. Amen. When they start cracking the champagne bottles open, I don't care if it's too much or not. They start cracking them bottles open. He said, don't be around them. Don't be among them. Amen. I think it's time to move on out of the way. Amen. Talking about this party atmosphere, there's been girls that's gone to those parties and come away raped or lost their purity. There's been boys that's gone there that's been assaulted or entrapped in some kind of sinful activity that, by the way, will haunt their conscience till the day they die. Not because of what they went intending to do, but just because they was with the wrong crowd. They went among wine bibbers and among riotous eaters of the flesh. Amen. Now I know some people, good people, that say that they can go in a restaurant, for example, that's got a bar, that they could sit down on the bar stool beside of people drinking and never be tempted to take a drink. And that may be so. I personally don't think that it would tempt me. I've never drunk liquor and alcohol. Never had. I got saved when I was 8 years old, so I've never indulged in it, never partook of it. I don't think that I'd have a taste for it. But here's where I'm going. This verse says, don't be among them. Don't be among them. And there's a thousand things you could throw out. What about abstain from all appearance of evil? What about the fact that everybody else that walks by and sees you sitting at the bar stool, or they see the beer bottles sitting around you, or the martini glasses, or the liquor bottles, amen, whether or not they got Dylan Mulvaney's picture on them, it's wrong. Amen, that's right. It's not safe to sit among them that's drinking and partying. It's not safe to be among that crowd. It's not a good testimony. He says, don't be among them. Amen. Now, this warning goes on from verse 20 to 21. We read it together, and it gives, verse 21 gives the effects. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty. You're going to get broke one of these days.
It's going to cost you, is what he's saying. You listen, you may have enough money that it don't bankrupt you, but it still costs you. There's going to be a price to pay for running with that crowd. There's going to be a price to pay for indulging in those activities. Amen. And so he's talking about how that it brings you, it leads to poverty and to shame. Intoxication has brought many men and women to rags. He uses that very word. Brings you to rags. Brother Clint Boyer preached Friday morning. Pastors where Brother James Jones was at Harriman now. Brother Boyer told me, sitting at the meal now, I don't remember if it was lunch or supper. I don't remember. Anyway, we sat with him, and it was supper. And he was telling me about after he went to Harriman and had just been there for a few years, and that there's a man, they started an outreach to drug rehab and alcohol. They started in the old church building. They started an outreach to some of those men in particular. And he said, there's a man came up, and that man said to him, he said, you're Clint Boyer. And he said, yes, sir, I am. And the man said, you're the reason I'm here. He told him what his name was. Brother Boyer said, I didn't know him. He said, I hadn't seen him in 15 years. He said, 15 years ago, that man led me to the Lord. And now he's a drunk. 15 years ago, he said, that man was working for a phone company, came into their business and was working on the phones and took time to share the word of God with him and point him to Calvary. And he got saved as a result of that man's witness. Not necessarily right there, but he said that man, God used him to lead him to God. And in the process of time, that man's wife left him for another man. He got to drinking, lost his family, lost his job, lost his mind. And he saw Brother Boyer's name on the sign and said, I think I know him. And went to that meeting just because of that. And now he's gotten right with God. His family's in church. Three of his boys was with Brother Boyer there at that meeting. Amen. Because God rescued that man from a life of sin. Amen. 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 Listen, I'm not giving any excuse for anything. And I don't know if he was lost and just got saved. To be honest with you, that's what I would be more apt to believe. God can use a lost man to point somebody to Calvary. Sure he can. Amen. I could say a lot of things about that. I better be careful. But anyway, God can use whatever he wants to point somebody to Jesus. And then turn that thing around and reach that person by the good grace of God. Amen. But I'm just simply saying that intoxication brought people to rags. That man lost everything he had because of that intoxication. Even if drinking was not a sin, and it is, then just hanging out with drunkards would hurt your testimony. But if that's all there was to it, Solomon tells his son that it's also going to cost you money and income. Alcohol has a way of searing the conscience, deadening the voice of reason, and bringing out wickedness out of a clouded mind. Wickedness comes crawling out. My dad had a first cousin, as far as I know, died drunk. And I don't glory in this. Dad said that when they were 16, I believe they're 16, Dad bought this man his first beer, his first cousin. And God saved my dad, and that man died of drunk. He lived, I don't know, years and years. He's probably 60 years old when he died. My wife and I, she probably remembers it, coming along the road, going to Dad's house, and this man was passed out in the highway, laying, his belt was about where the white line's at. The upper part of his body laying right out in the road, and we had to swerve to go around him to keep from running over him. He'd sleep anywhere he could find a place to sleep. But when he was not drunk, when he was sober, he was one of the kindest, soft-spoken. But when he got to drinking, he was mean. At least he thought he was. He thought he was bad. And he'd get in fights and get in all kinds of trouble. You know what caused that? Drunkenness. Drunkenness caused it. It has a way of searing the conscience, deadening the voice of reason, and bringing wickedness out of that clouded mind. Amen. Now I know a lot of people that claim they have liberty to drink alcohol so long as they don't overindulge. And granted, this proverb is speaking about overindulging in food and in drink. Yeah. But most of those people that say they have liberty to drink will also have to admit that there has been times that they've crossed the line. They wouldn't have crossed the line if they hadn't started drinking. If they hadn't abused their liberty. And even in that case, some of those people have gotten themselves in trouble by being in that wrong crowd and with those wrong people. They've gotten themselves in trouble that's cost them jobs, cost them promotions, even cost them careers. Because of being in the wrong crowd. Now the latter part of verse number 21 indicates something about laziness. Now you see that, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. I believe that's talking about lousiness, and drinking and overeating seem to go together. Amen. I mean, you look around and see what's going on around us in our world today. A lot of those people that we'd call panhandling, those people that are on the streets, they're not working, but they're eating pretty good. And they've got money to get something to drink. You're right. Yes, sir. Something to drink, something to smoke. They got money to do all those things. It seems like, listen, here's the thing. These fellas that just can't hold down a job can down a six pack. Or they can down a Big Mac. Some of y'all wanting to right now, ain't you? Big Mac. Amen. Anyway, here's what he's saying. He's saying this crowd, they can eat and drink, but they just can't work. They've got a problem. They don't feel like working. We're warned, by the way, not to partake with that crowd, not to participate with that crowd. Amen. So let's look at the next verse. Verse number 22. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. That seems to go right along with verse number 19 that we started out with. And it's bookends. He's talking about son. He's saying, listen to what your father said. And then he's talking about don't be in with that drunken crowd. And now he's saying, listen to your father and your mother. Don't break your mama's heart when she gets old. Amen. Hearken to thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. So he started off dealing with the father and the son. Now he's bringing the mother in. Here's why I believe. Is because if there is a tender spot at all in a man's heart, it ought to be for his mother. Amen. She went to death's door to bring you to life. Amen. You ought to thank God for a godly mother. Amen. But here's what I think about. I think about this proverb being applied particularly to that crowd that's got in the wrong crowd. I remember reading where Billy Sunday was preaching at the rescue mission. And in his message, he just said these words. He said, son, remember the warnings of your mother. And said people started weeping and coming down the aisle, and people started getting right with God just over that little phrase and that thought, because many of those men knew that they had a mama that had been wetting her pillow with tears every night because of their drunken lifestyle. Because of their partying attitude, and that it had broken their mother's heart, and just being reminded of their mother broke them down to tears. I believe that's what this proverb is about. Young people that do get in with the partying crowd, I'm going to tell you something else they do. I've already alluded to it just a little bit. Something else they do, though, is they cut off the authority of mom and dad. They've got with this crowd. This is the crowd they want to run with. This is my gang. Boy, we're having a lot more fun than we did down at the old folks' home with mom and dad. They get to thinking about that. They get to thinking mom and dad just old fogies. Mom and dad don't know anything. It seems like they've got it in their mind. They're tending to think that their parents are old and that they don't understand the joys of youth. And yet Solomon in his wisdom is telling us you'd be wise not to break your mama's heart when she's old. Don't ridicule your parents.
Don't reject their knowledge or their wisdom. By the way, you'll be a fool if you do. Amen. Your parents ought to hold a place of honor in your life. Amen. They ought to hold a place of honor in your heart, especially when they get up in years. Amen. I mean, right now when your parents are young, which you, all you children think your parents are old, don't you? They all do. I told somebody, I think it was Brother Jacob, I was telling Brother Jacob there in Kansas, walking in, Dad and I went, Mom and Melissa both stayed the night in the motel there that Tuesday night, and Mom wasn't feeling well, Melissa wasn't completely over it, and so they stayed, and so Dad and I went together. Dad drove with me. We're walking up at the front door, and a man there, Brother Jeff Kurtz, and Brother Jeff said, he shook Dad's hand, then he shook mine. Dad's talking to somebody else. And Brother Jeff said to me, he said, Brother Farrell, how is it that your dad never ages? I said, I don't know. He's looked 75 since he is 25. That's what I said. Maybe that's got something to do with it. And but then the next morning we went in, and Brother Jeff's there, and I said, Brother Jeff, you offended me last night. I said, you didn't ask me how I keep from aging. He didn't say anything about that. But I remember as a boy, I can remember my dad being 25. He was 25 when I got saved. That's strange. It shouldn't be that way, but amen. I was born early. Dad was 17 when I was born. So we grew up together. Amen. But where I'm going with it, I remember thinking, I thought 25 was old. I mean, 30. My goodness, that's about ready for canes and walkers. That's long gone. Amen. So you think they're old, but here's what he's saying here. He's saying, listen, they ought to have a special place in your heart any time in your life, but especially when they start getting old. They ought to have a special place in your heart. Amen. Remember all they've done for you. Remember what they've sacrificed for you. And by the way, they only want your good. That's what they want. They're not telling you that to keep you from having fun. They don't want you to get in trouble. When they tell you don't run with that crowd, it's because they know where that crowd's going. And they don't want you going that way. It's not that they don't want you to have fun. They want your good. Their instructions are not meant to bind you, or they're not holding you back from having fun. They're fearful of you getting with the wrong crowd, getting in a dangerous place and under the influence of wrong companions. Their warnings are sincere. By the way, most of them have been around the block a time or two. They may have tasted of what you're fixing to taste of, and they know where it leads. You say, well, they got saved. Yeah, thank God they did, but you better not presume on the grace of God. You better not trample under your feet the mercy and the goodness of the Lord that's protecting you. Amen. Don't disrespect them. Don't despise their advice. Don't break their heart by breaking their commandments. Show them some respect and give them honor, and you'll be blessed by that. Look at verse number 23. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. I got to pick up the pace a little bit if I'm going to get all these done. Buy the truth and sell it not. Here's another proverb about the importance of truth. Again, this verse could apply to the others. Your parents have been trying to tell you right things. There's another crowd trying to lead you in the wrong way. So you need to know what's true, and you need to hang on to it. You need to recognize the value of truth. That's what he's talking about when he's saying buy the truth. Truth doesn't cost money. We don't sell God's word. But truth has value. And it may cost something for you to get a hold of the truth and to hang on to the truth. Amen. And so he's dealing with this idea about truth, and he's dealing with it in a business atmosphere. Brother Josh, it's in the idea of, and I know your mind thinks along as well, it's in the idea of economics. When somebody buys something, most people don't buy something to keep it forever. Right? They buy it with the idea that I'll hold it till it gets of more value, or I'll use it in the time, and then I'll sell it, and I'll make a profit on the sale. So there's a benefit in the buy and a benefit in the sale.
But this proverb says there's no benefit in turning loose of it. There's benefit in getting hold of it. Buy it. It's worth the cost. But he's saying don't turn loose of it because it's not worth the cost when you turn loose of it. Amen. Never sell it. Procure it, but never turn loose of it. Amen. Obviously, Solomon understood the value of truth. Amen. He says it's never profitable to part with the truth. Amen. Whatever you give for the cost of the truth, it'll be a bargain. But whatever you get for it when you sell it will not be a bargain. Amen. The same is true about wisdom and instruction. And understanding, that was the third one. Wisdom and instruction and understanding. By the way, matter of fact, the way to get wisdom and instruction and understanding is to buy the truth. You can't get all that without the truth. Amen. Think about it this way. Gold is not really valuable unless it's true gold. If it's not true gold, it's fool's gold. And it's not valuable. Silver is not valuable unless it's true silver. Wisdom is not valuable unless it's true wisdom. Instruction and understanding, all those are only valuable related to the truth. By the way, that's why a whole lot of this scientific knowledge in our world today is worthless. It's worthless. It doesn't line up with the Word of God. Amen. Now, somebody might say, this way I put it in my notes, somebody might say, preacher, what are we going to do about this? The Bible doesn't line up with science. Can I tell you, we don't have to make the Bible line up with science. Science needs to line up with the Bible. Now, they started years ago telling our children, now listen to me, follow me just for a second, I'll run this just a moment. They started years ago telling our children that since those first chapters of Genesis don't line up with science, then we'll just set them aside and we got to believe science. We've got to follow the science, to quote Dr. Fauci. We got to follow the science. And since the Bible don't line up with that, we throw the Bible away. Oh no, you did wrong right there, friend. And now here we are today, they're saying you don't even know if you're a boy or a girl. You know why? Because you can't trust that the Bible said God made them male and female. Because they've thrown it away. They've already thrown it away. We've got to have that foundation. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And so we got to say, if science doesn't align up with the Bible, then science is wrong. We have to believe that. We have to believe that. It can very well be science falsely so called, as 1 Timothy 6:20 talks about. Amen. The Bible is correct. The Bible is the truth. Amen. If science disagrees with the Bible, it is flawed science somewhere. Amen. So he says, don't sell the truth. Don't sell the truth for something that says that it's wisdom. I mean, you go off to college and the university professor says, forget all what you've heard about the Bible. We're going to teach you the truth. No, they're not teaching you the truth if they forgot the Bible. Amen. They might call it wisdom, they might call it instruction, they might call it understanding, but if it doesn't line up with the truth, it's not right. Amen. You'll find it is false gold. It may look shiny, but it's worthless. It may look like the real thing, but it's worthless. Can I tell you that the truth is priceless? Amen. Amen. Now, thinking about being of value, I thought about this. There are some things that are of value to certain people because of sentimental value. They'd be worthless to others, but they're worth something to that one particular person, right? I mean, Brother Ricky's probably got a fishing pole that ain't worth much to me and you, but it's worth something to him because he caught the biggest bass he ever caught on that one time. Amen. I don't know. I'm just saying there's things, people have things that are heirlooms, things that are passed down, that's valuable to them because of sentimental value. And the world will tell you that's all that the Bible is. It's just because that's what you was raised to believe. It's just because, you know, you're among those old fogies and you was trained up in that. And so, it's just sentimental value that's actually worthless. But they're wrong about that. I'm glad there is some sentimental value about the Bible. It was the Bible that taught me the right from the wrong. It was the Bible that pointed me to the Savior. It was the Bible that showed me that I was lost without God and headed to hell if I didn't call on Him and get saved. Amen. Thank God for the sentimental value of the Bible. But there's more than sentimental value. There's the Savior in the Bible. Amen. Amen. It has value not just because of its sentimental value. It holds sentimental value, but it's the truth. It's words from our Heavenly Father. Amen. Its subject and its utility is valuable. The subject is the Savior. The utility is salvation that comes through faith in the Savior. The Bible is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Amen. I'm not waiting on science to show me the light. Wait on the Bible to show me the light. Now, science can make light to light up a room, but they can't make light that'll light up a dark soul. There's a lot of people sitting in incandescent lights. They're sitting under fluorescent lights. They're sitting under light, and they're in darkness in their spirit. But there's also people, maybe they don't have the money to turn the power on, to turn the lights on, but they've got light down in their soul because they believe the Word of God. Amen, amen, and amen. Can I tell you that the acquirement of the truth is worth the cost? The acquirement of it, getting it. Amen. And then it's the acquirement is worth the requirement. Whatever it costs, whatever the price, this is the pearl of great price. It is the hidden treasure in the field. Amen. It shows us the truth. Amen. And it's valuable to the child of God. Don't lose it. By the way, if you could ask some people some questions. If you could talk to Esau, say, Esau, was it worth it selling out your birthright for a bowl of beans? He'd say it ain't worth it. You could ask Judas, was it worth it selling the Lord out for 30 pieces of silver? Judas would say it's not worth it. If you could ask Demas, sold out the apostles, turned his back on the truth because he loved this present world. You say, was it worth it, Demas? He'd say it's not worth it. I'm just simply saying buy the truth and sell it not. It's not worth it. Amen. Verse number 24 and 25. I'm moving on. Verse 24 and 25. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth the wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. So he's going on reminding now the children about the joy that you can bring and the blessing that you can bring to your parents by being righteous. Amen. You don't have to be top of the class if you're walking in the right way. You don't have to be the most wealthy one if you're walking in the right way. Amen. That righteousness is what the parents want for their children. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. Amen. Righteous living not only blesses the one doing the living, but it blesses the parents that raised them. Amen. Amen. I mentioned to Brother Moyes Friday morning. He was there Friday morning. And I mentioned to him about his daughter's wedding. And I asked him, was he still stinging from it? He said he is. He said he told his other two girls, said, y'all better not be married when I get home. Amen. And he said he is. He's still stinging from it. But this is what he said. He said, you know, it hurts to see them go, but you know they're growing up. And he said, if they're going in the will of God, even though it hurts that things are changing, he said, you got peace about it. And you can rejoice that they're going on with God. I say amen right there. That's exactly right. That's what he's talking about here. Your father and your mother can rejoice. Now, think about this. Young people, do you ever contemplate how your mom and dad feel about the decisions you're making? Have you even asked them? Have you thought about what would they say about the way you're going? Have you strayed from those godly principles that your mom and dad laid down for you? Now, I'm taking, as the scripture takes it, I'm just taking for granted that you got parents that have taught you right. I know there's a lot today that don't have that. I understand that. So, but I'm preaching to the crowd that has had those godly principles. They paid a great price to raise you up in the way you should go. Amen. If you was homeschooled, if your mama stayed at home and your dad went to work, listen, they made sacrifices. I'm talking about major sacrifices to keep you clothed and fed and sitting on a church pew. Amen. They made those sacrifices. What are you doing about it? What do you think about? Or what do they think about the way you're going and the way you're living? Is your father's heart saddened or is it gladdened by the way you're living? Is your mother glad about the choices that you're making? Amen. By the way, you ought to think about this. God made a promise, the only commandment with promise. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor, that obeying is while you're young. But even when you're out of the home, and maybe even have your own home, there's still the honor part that goes in there. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. That's the promise. God's promised to bless those that honor their parents. Amen. You ought to think about it. You ought to think about it. I believe God's also promised to curse those that forsake the guide of their youth. Amen. The Apostle John talked about having no greater joy than to hear that his children walked in truth. That's true of all godly parents. Amen. Amen. I'm going to be honest with you. If I could have my way, I'd love for Joshua and his family to be on one of these pews serving God with us right here at Island Ford. I'd be glad for Benjamin and his family to be sitting right here on one of these pews serving the Lord with us at Island Ford Baptist Church. But unless God calls that, Joshua's where he's supposed to be in Oklahoma. Benjamin's where he's supposed to be in North Carolina. Amen. Amen. And you know what I got to do? I got to rejoice that they're walking in truth. Amen. Verse number 26 through 28. I'll read these and speak on these and quit. Verse number 26. My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. For a whore is a deep ditch and a strange woman is a narrow pit. She also lieth in wait as for prey and increaseth the transgressors among men. Now here the father's pleading for the son to give me thine heart. I put these together. I think they go together. Matter of fact, I intended on stopping at verse 25 until I saw how these come along. And they actually apply to what we've looked at already. This father pleading with his son, listen to my words, hear my instructions, think about what I've taught you, think about what your mother has taught you. Give me thine heart. Not just your ear, but your heart. Solomon saying to his son, observe my ways. Do you see that? You see that? Verse number 26, the last phrase. Observe, let thine eyes observe my ways. Not, listen, children need to be told right. But they also need to have an example. They need to have an example. They not only need to be told, they need to be led in the right way. Amen. That's one reason why you watch these fathers that don't go to church. Maybe mama does, and they send the kids and the boys get up and they start saying, I don't want to go to church. Dad says, you better go because church is good for you. But he's not leading them to church. He's just telling them. In the majority of those cases, when those boys get up old enough to do what they want to do, they do what dad does. They start laying out, missing the house of God because of the example. That's right. And by the way, somebody said this. I can hear what you say. I might misunderstand it. I might not be able to read your lips, but I can read your life. That's right. Kids are not real good always at reading lips. But they can read your life. Amen. So he's telling us they need to be led in the right way. They need to be led on the right pathway. Amen. Now, notice this, point out this. He says, verse 26, my son. He's not talking to a stranger. He's talking to a family member. Right. This is what I'm thinking about. I'm using this idea. God is talking about, he wants us to walk righteously. But just walking righteous don't make you righteous. You got to be part of the family. You must be born again. And so he's talking to people that have been born again, that they need to walk in the right way. Amen.
Amen.
Part of the family. Following our Father's footsteps. By the way, he gave us an example. Sure did. He gave us a great example. These verses that follow talk about the Father's call. Then you go to verse number 27 and they're talking about another call. This case, it's a woman. It's a worthless woman. It's a wayward woman. It's a wicked, wanton woman. You see that? He says, reason you need to follow your Father's call is because he's given you the request. He's given you the instruction. You need to listen to him because there's going to be other voices. By the way, he's already dealt with it. There's going to be those other voices that say, come drink with us. They come party with us. But here's a woman. And a lot of young men that didn't fall for the crowd about the drinking and the partying fall for the wrong kind of woman. And he's saying, you better be careful. You better be careful that you're listening to your Father's voice. You better be careful that you're listening to your parents' advice. That you don't fall for the wrong woman. Here's dad giving a solemn call. But here's a woman giving a serene call. The siren voice of this wanton woman. Maybe it's a sultry voice. Maybe it's a sensual voice. Calls out to the son, getting him out of the right way. Notice what it says in verse number 27, for a whore is a deep ditch. You know what he's saying? You're going to fall if you go that way. She's a narrow pit. All right, he's saying, verse number 28, she also lieth in wait as a prey. There is a snare there. There is a trap there, is what he's saying. He goes on to say, she increaseth the transgressors among men. There's been a lot of men that went worse than they'd ever been because of the influence of a wicked woman.
Amen.
Amen. And so he's warning this son about the influence of a wicked woman. He says she's a deep ditch and a narrow pit. By the way, that's the way they're leading you into destruction. It's a way you fall and you don't have a way to get out. These voices are lying in wait as a prey. They're trying to ensnare you and entrap you. These are competing voices in the world today. And he calls these voices a whore. By the way, that's a harsh word. I don't use that word a lot. I've known people in the past that, I mean, they just throw it out there. They'd say all kinds of stuff and it's just, that's a whore. That's a pretty harsh word. You know why I believe he uses it here? He's trying to wake us up that this is a harsh reality. That if you don't listen to what your parents are saying, you're going to wind up in a bad way. You're going to wind up in a bad case. Yeah. Deep ditch, narrow pit. Yeah. By refusing to listen to God's word when you turn your ears from the truth, you're caught up in the entrancing and enticing voice of this strange woman that lures you into this dangerous trap. Amen. I believe there are obvious spiritual semblances here, comparisons that we can make. A lot of things we can think about spiritually speaking, that when we quit listening to our Father, we're listening to the whore of the world. Maybe it's the whore of religion. Right? Book of Revelation talks about that whore riding on the beast. That's what he calls her, by the way. It's a false religion, a religion that's drunk with the blood of the martyrs. I believe he's talking about the Catholic Church. But it could be any false, fallen religion that's wooing men to them. And John Gill said that there's never, the Bible talks about that whore that on her forehead's written the names of blasphemies. He said there's nothing more blasphemous than to call it the Holy Roman Church. Yeah. Nothing more blasphemous, according to John Gill. I think he's probably right. But we got a world full of systems, and it's not just religion. Now we got all kinds of things. People have made this whole transgender thing has become a religious atmosphere almost. They just believe it, and that makes it so. Just because they believe it. Young men, listen to me, young men today are bombarded with images, pictures, sayings, news, bombarded with information about harlotry, prostitution, sensual and sexual things, messages about harlots or from harlots. Here's what he's saying to you. Don't be enticed by all that. By the way, there's a way not to be enticed. If you don't give your ear to her, what do? Give your ear to something else. Don't give your heart to her. Give your heart to something else. Who you give your heart to? He said, my son, give me thine heart. That's the cry. Now listen, when a young man or a young woman turns their heart away from God, they turn from the truth. They're turned to fables. That's what Paul talks about in the book of Timothy. That they turn their ears from the truth. They're turned unto fables. And they start believing all kinds of lies. All kinds of make-believe things that can't be true. And they start believing that. And Solomon's telling his son, son, you better be careful. You better be careful. Don't give your ear to these devils. Don't give your ear to these divas. Right? Don't give your ear to this world mentality of sensualism. Give your ear to God and His Word. By the way, all these proverbs that we've looked at tonight, I said they have a common thread. We can see it. The need that is mentioned. We need to give our heart and our soul to God. We need to give our attention to the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Give our attention to the Word of God and to the God of the Word. The day we're living in, there's a lot of enticements to youth. A lot of them. We've got these influencers on social media reaching in every way they can to get your attention. I mentioned that the one that had been on the news recently. I like what Brother Duncan said. Brother Bradley said they ought to have been upset about this whole transgender and perversion thing way before it got to their beer can. All of a sudden it got to their beer can. Don't be messing with my beer can, bud. Light. No. They ought to have been angry about it way before it got to the beer can. Yeah, right. By the way, you know who Dylan Mulvaney's followers are? Teenage boys and preteen boys and girls. That's who's following him on social media. That's who his audience is. He's teaching them how a boy can become a girl. What is that? That is the voice of non-reason. That is the voice of perversion. Where did he get that? He turned from the truth. I don't know his life. I don't know his background. But I'm saying that's what happens in our world today. You turn from the truth, you start listening to the wrong thing. So, preacher, how do I keep from listening to the wrong thing? Keep listening to the right. Don't turn off the truth. Keep your radio on 89.9. Amen. Make sure your car is in the parking lot when the services are going on. Make sure that your body is in the pew, not back in the back somewhere, in the pew when the service is going on. Amen. That's how you keep listening to the right thing instead of listening to the wrong thing. It can be done even in today's society.